We're studying in the book of Titus, so I will ask you to turn to the book of Titus, chapter 1, give you a feel for what it's like up there. That'll maybe scare you for this morning. We've been in the book of Titus for 4 weeks right now, and we're still in verse 2. But there's a lot here, and I hope to be able to share some of that with you. And what time do I need to be finished? I don't even know. I'm not in this service. I come to the first service. What time do you normally get out of here? 12:30. 12:30. Okay. Well, somebody let me know when I need to be finished here. So, and I hope they're not taping this today. But let me pray, particularly as we would focus our minds here in the book of Titus. Father, I pray that you'll take just these few verses that we have before us here, that you might be pleased to give us something that would be a great picture of you and your goodness, your grace to us, a great picture of the person of Christ and how he works in his church and how he did position Paul as to be his instrument for the working of your spirit in his church and in individual lives. And that's what we want to have happen here today, Lord. So we pray that you would do that, and we'll give you praise and thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, read with me if you would. The book of Titus is one of the so-called pastoral epistles where Paul is instructing this man Titus to get him ready to go and minister to churches throughout the island of Crete, and that would go actually beyond that. Realize that there's a transition that's going on that you'll see in this book. You see Paul as the apostle, who is the one without necessarily the written word of God, is being written by Paul and others at that time. But because the church is in its very early stages, there's not structure to the church and things like that. And there's also problems in the church. And so wouldn't every church like to have an apostle? Yes, of course. But Paul, knowing that the days of the apostles were going to pass before long, is now doing a handoff. He's passing the baton, really, first to Titus and men like him, what you might call apostolic representatives. And then Titus is going to pass what Paul is teaching him on to what would become the leadership structure of the church, which is elders. He says here, just to give you an idea of what he's going to say to them, or to Titus, in verse 5 of chapter 1, he says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." And then he would give the qualifications for elders, and as part of that qualification is what they should do. It's a personal letter to Titus, but Titus is to go through this island of Crete and to establish churches and the leadership structure that is in those churches. Well, Crete was known for a few interesting things. They were an area where you might say Christianity, you might think of as hard to take root there just because of the people. Notice what he says about them. Well, first of all, he says in verse 10 of chapter 1, he says, "There's many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision," referring to Jews who would be there. "They must be silenced," he says. Now, verse 12, "One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.'" Well, that's an interesting thing to say. "This testimony is true," he says. "For this reason, reprove them severely so they may be sound in the faith." Now, the question I have for you, if you were Titus and you were there on this island and you were given this charge amongst these kind of people, I would think that you'd like to say, I need some help here. That's a big job. What can you do? Can you empower me with something?" And what Paul empowers him with is the charge that he gives it and who the charge is from. Read with me these first several verses in the first chapter here. He says, "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is in accord with godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested, even his word, in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Now, that's a long sentence. You know, it's just basically it's one sentence. What's Paul doing? Now, when you receive a personal letter from somebody, this is a personal letter. You just receive a personal letter from somebody, do you expect it to have this kind of, what is all this? Well, it is a personal letter, but he's giving him a charge. He said, I'm coming and I'm charging you officially, Titus. I'm giving you, I'm laying my hand upon you, and I'm saying, you have my, in my authority as an apostle, I give you this charge. Take and carry it out. Now, that's just sort of the background on what Titus needed to know there. What I want to look at today is how Paul expresses something about himself in his introduction here that we would get an appreciation for him, maybe a little different than what you might expect, and that we might see it for ourselves as well, that we could become, he could be a model, an example for us to do something. And the first thing I find interesting is how Paul refers to himself. He says, Paul, a bondservant. Now, the first term, this bondservant. First of all, there are many who would say that if you define this or you translate this as bondservant, it's really not a very good translation. What it means is slave. Okay, he was a slave. Now, the people who look at the meanings of old of words, ancient words and ancient Greek words, this word is in Greek is a word called doulos, means slave. It was always a slave. It never meant a servant in the sense that you can serve many people, can't you? I do. Hopefully I serve my wife. Hopefully she'd say I serve her. My children, I serve them. I serve here at this church. I serve my employer. I serve many people. You can be a servant to many people. What's the distinction of this word? He's owned by only one. You can serve many people. Paul could serve many people. He's only owned by one, God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this whole idea of if you're owned by someone, remember Jesus' parable, or not parable, his teaching, where he says, you know, you cannot serve two masters. You can only really serve one. Well, you know, in a sense, what he's saying is you can only be owned by one. You got to get that straight. Who owns you? And who owns you, I would suggest, if you see yourself as owned by someone, sets the course of your life. Paul saw this as setting the course of his life, the fact that he was owned by the person of God by virtue of his coming into a saving knowledge of him. And so it ends up setting the direction of his life. And so notice he picks a humbling term. Paul could come in, I'm the Apostle Paul. And I'm charging you, Titus, with this. But he says, I'm a slave of God. And I'm going to charge you with this. And by the way, Titus, you're a slave of God. I'm going to charge you. By the way, if you know Jesus Christ, you're a slave of God. You are owned by someone. Your life is not your own. In fact, turn to, if you would, just for a second, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you'll see a picture of that. I'm sure Paul would have had this in his mind. I'm going to pick it up in verse 14, for he says, for the love of Christ, you know, the fact that we know that God loves us, Christ loves us so much, controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That was what a main motivator for Paul, where he said, I must serve my master, my owner. And so, humbling term, and yet carries with it great meaning. Notice the other term that he uses. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of apostle, we think authority, high calling, things like that, pillars of the church, those sorts of things. You got to realize the word that he used there was a humble word. It just meant messenger. A messenger. You know what we are? You know what Paul was? He was a messenger. A messenger boy. That's what he was. And I think he's taking, it, certainly there is weight to the word apostle. I don't mean to say that there isn't. But the word that is used is a humble word. Messenger. That's all we are. We're messengers. Paul saw his ministry as one, I'm just a messenger. I hear from God through his word. Now, Paul heard, you know, he was the instrument of God's revelation. But for you and me today, we hear from God. What are we supposed to do with it? I'm a messenger. Why do you do it? Because I belong to God. It's like, well, what else would I do with that? But he's a messenger, just a, you know, messenger boy. We have to be careful when we're messenger boys that the message that we take is the message that we have received, not the one that we necessarily think it ought to be. I'll give you an example. Those who are, whether it be a preacher or it be you or me or whatever it might be, think of it. Think in the realm of a restaurant. And the cook is God. And the customers are people who need to hear. And you're the server. You go get the serve, you know, you go get the meal, and you take it to the person. Now, what you don't do on the way is, I really don't think that's a good combination. I think this needs a little salt. I'm going to change up the dish and make it more palatable. No, your job, what is it? Take the dish, serve it. It's not something where, who is it that gets, when they taste the food, by the way, what is the food? Truth, the Word of God. When they taste it and they say, it is good, who do they compliment? Not the server, not the waiter or the waitress, the cook, okay? And that's the way it should be when we carry forth the Word of God for someone or for the Lord. Who they commend is God. Not you and me. We're messengers. We're just messengers and doing that. So that was Paul, how he identified himself to Titus here. He said, I'm a slave of God. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the next part I think is really interesting. He says, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is in accord with godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. This message that Paul was talking to Titus to take to others is a message that he paints a picture here. What will happen when we, or when Titus, takes truth, the Word of God, and presents it to people? What will happen? Some will come to faith. Some will come to a greater knowledge of the truth, which is in accord with godliness. And some will have those who do that will have a hope of eternal life, promised by a God who cannot lie, who long ages ago set this all up. So what he's saying is, our job, again, take truth, take the gospel, take the hope that is in Jesus Christ, go and proclaim it. And what will God do? He'll bring people to faith. He'll bring people to a knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. He'll instill in people hope. Again, who's doing this? God's doing this. What's our part? Messengers. Messengers of God along those lines. And so here Paul gives a picture of, in humility, as slaves of God and messengers, or those who would get that message out. Why is it there? It is for the faith of those who have been chosen of God, just a term to say, we could go deep into this. Mike would kill me. Those chosen of God, these are the ones who are or will become believers, okay? And he says, what will awaken them to faith? Proclamation of the word. What will awaken them to the knowledge of the word of truth and of life that is godly? The preaching of the word. What is it that will give them a hope that sustains them through that? The giving out of truth. Now, here's a couple of things that I think is also interesting here. Would you notice that Paul sees his ministry as other-oriented? He says, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ, slave of God, and I'm an apostle, a messenger for Jesus Christ for someone else. For someone else. Let me tell you how this will transform, if we get this kind of a attitude, how this will transform your marriage, your shepherd group, this church as a whole, your place at work, whatever it would be. When you go, particularly in the Christian, with regard to the gospel and encouraging God's people and seeing people come to Christ, do you go into those environments saying, I'm here for you? Now, I'll ask you a question. Was it conscious, cognitive thought when you came here this morning that you came here to be an instrument of God in somebody else's life? That's how Paul saw his life. That's how he saw his ministry. Do you realize how that will transform a Christian community? If everyone comes for the purpose, if it's very conscious, cognitive in their mind, I'm not here just to get. I'm here to be an instrument in the hands of God to be a blessing to other people. Imagine if our wives, men, really were impressed on the truth, if it were, is true, my husband is mindful. He is always thinking, how can he be a blessing to me? Likewise, the other way around the marriage. Imagine you go into your shepherd group, and before you get there, you're saying, tonight I'm going to look for somebody in particular who I can bless in a special way. As opposed to, I wonder what's going to be talked about tonight, and I wonder if the food's going to be good, and I wonder, you know, all those sorts of things. It changes the whole way you look about things. In church, you come to be a blessing, an instrument in the hand of God. All of a sudden, you know, the setting of the room, whether something doesn't happen quite right with the electronics or all of that becomes so secondary. Why? Because we're here to be a blessing to each other in the name of Christ by being a blessing, by making him known and lifting up high the person of Christ and the hope that we have in God and in the gospel and in the person of Christ. It would completely transform the way we do ministry, the way we experience things here. So Paul comes in and he says, I'm giving you my credentials, Titus. They're humble credentials. They're this. I belong to God. He owns me. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm here to bring about the faith of those who God has chosen and he knows will come to him. He's there to give truth, which is in according to godliness. In other words, it's a truth that produces godliness and in a way that highlights and gives the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested. Now, he says further, he says, well, how did he do that? He did it through, in verse 3, Paul being called, you know, his passion is, I want to speak the words of God in a way that will bring forth faith, knowledge that will produce godliness, and hope in people's lives. What was his means of doing that? Preaching, or really the word there is proclamation. Notice what it says in verse 3. But at the proper time manifested, even his word, in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, what's tied up in that proclamation? And how can we get a hold of that? And we just had this discussion up in Bereans a few minutes ago, and so it's fresh on my mind. I don't want you to think of Paul as the preacher, the proclaimer, like I'm doing right now from a pulpit in front of a whole bunch of people. He is a proclaimer of truth and hope in Jesus Christ in every little thing that he did, no matter what the venue was, whether he was preaching in the synagogue or whether he is proclaiming truth in the synagogue or whether he is proclaiming truth with a small group of believers or whether he is proclaiming truth with an individual that he was talking to. We can model this in our lives. Now, here's the question. Well, I know I'm supposed to minister in the Bible. I mean, I have spiritual gifts. My gifts may be helps. My gifts may be mercy. My gifts may be whatever. I'm not a preacher like Paul. Are you calling me to be a preacher like Paul? No, I'm not calling you to be a preacher like Paul. I'm calling you to proclaim like Paul. Do you see your gift of helps as being the vehicle through which you can proclaim a truth? Do you see your gift of mercy as being a vehicle through which you can proclaim truth, hope in the person of Christ? Do you see your gift of administration as not just administering or making sure that everything's in it, but as a vehicle for proclaiming truth in Jesus Christ? Hope. People are blessed by helps, they're blessed by administration, they're blessed by all the... But what is it that changes lives? Truth about the person of Christ and the hope that is in the gospel. Communicate it as we carry out these other various gifts. And that's what he's talking about. And so, the takeaways from today. Today's going to be a short message. What time are we supposed to finish? Nobody gave me that answer. What time do you guys normally leave here? 11:15. Okay, well, I'll be a little short, because unless you want me to go through the whole book. But anyway, here's what I'd ask you to take away today. I believe Paul is both encouraging, energizing, and giving an authentication to Titus's ministry. But in the picture that we have of Paul, we see some things that you don't have to be a Titus to take away. You can be any person here can take away. You belong to Jesus Christ by virtue of your salvation. You are owned in a good kind of way, all right? In a good kind of way. You are owned. Your life is not your own. And God has called you into that. He has adopted you. He has brought you to himself for the purpose that you might have the greatest joy you can imagine in being his slave. That seems like what? I don't want to be a slave. I want to be free. The best way to freedom is to be a slave of Jesus Christ. Paul saw himself as that. See yourself as a slave of Jesus Christ. See yourself as, I'm just a messenger. I don't have to be particularly creative. I don't have to be, you know, of eloquent speech. In fact, Paul uses those words in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I did not come to you with superiority of speech or of anything like that. In those days, by the way, what was common was people who, they were actually, their profession was rhetoric. They were good talkers. By the way, we can see some of them in our, you know, in our present day. People who talk a good line and had all kinds of eloquent speech, and what they prided themselves on was their ability to manipulate thought through words or through style or things like that. And Paul said, I'm not that. I'm just here to make Jesus. In fact, he said, I just want to make Christ known, nothing but Christ, Christ and the crucifixion. That's what I want to make known, and the things that are associated. You and I can both do that. We're owned by God for that purpose. We're just messengers. Now, how to put it into practical ways? Here's my challenge to you. Everywhere you, even after you finish this service today, who can I bless? Who can I serve? Who can I give a word of truth to? It may be a word of truth that you give. Let me just share how good God is to have brought me through this, these particular circumstances. Just like that. When you go to your shepherd group this week, I am going to be a blessing. I don't care what I get. You know what you'll get? You'll get blessed. You'll be blessed. But if we would think like that, and then think in terms of, it's the veracity of the Word of God, the truth about God that changes lives. What a privilege. What a privilege we have to be owned by the Lord like this, in a way that our words can produce these kind of changes in people's lives. I hope that'll happen to you. And I'm serious. If you all want to show up in Bereans next week, come on up. We're going to be talking about, you know, elders. What's elders? Things like that. Can't help but put in an advertisement. But anyway, let me close this in prayer and continue to, we want to pray for Mike and also certainly what we've heard from God's Word today. Father, I'm thankful for these people who would come, and I know they're expecting to hear from Mike today, but it's you that we want to hear from, and we know that wherever you are proclaimed and your word is proclaimed, that there is these things that Paul talks about here. Faith is brought about. Truth is proclaimed that produces godliness, and hope is given for all of us. I pray that we would leave today emboldened by those things. I pray that we might take the challenges that I've given here today and put them in place. And Lord, the main thing, perhaps the most important thing that I'd talk about this morning would be this great salvation that Paul had experienced, Titus had experienced, and now he wants to see spread with others wherever he went. A salvation that people realize, I cannot please God in and of myself. My good works are insufficient. In fact, my good works are every one of them tainted by a selfishness in some way. I am a sinful person. I'm under the condemnation of you, God, because of my sin and rebelliousness, except that you have made a means for my freedom, my deliverance, my forgiveness, to be reconciled to you, to come to you, and that is in Christ and in him alone. He died, he lived, he died, that he might produce for me that which I could never produce in myself, a righteous life, a payment for sin. Lord, for anyone here today who hasn't quite connected all the dots of what it means to be a Christian and what Paul was asking Titus to spread, I pray that you'd make it clear today. There is salvation in no other than the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And what you would call us to do is to put our faith and trust in him, and not in anything that we might bring to the table ourselves. And so, Lord, you take truth like I've just expressed, and you awaken faith. And I pray you'd do it for somebody here today. And if you've done it, Lord, I pray that they would see the great work you've done and proclaim it to others. So we'll thank you and praise you, and we give you all of this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you.